If you have a Bible, you might want to follow along with me as I read from Psalm 23, verse 1 to 3. I felt the Lord speak to my own heart about the necessity of being restored when you go through something. I was thinking of the family that we were at the funeral for the son, and as they lost their son suddenly, through a drug thing. It was very disheartening and overwhelmingly sudden. And I was thinking that for that family, they would need to have their soul restored. And I think there's so many things in life that happens with. So let me just read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Down through my lifetime, I could list scores and scores and scores of, yes, even hundreds of moments where it was a renewing of the inner man. It was that I felt beaten down or discouraged or somehow just feeling something missing in my heart and life, and had somebody pray for me or some verse I read, and I could feel the Lord restoring my heart and restoring my joy. And so this is a very, very practical thing. And when we say he restores my soul, it could be that we're talking about you this morning. It could be you that needs the restoration of your spirit, of your soul, of the very inner core, and that you would go and say, I was beaten down, but now I feel that I'm on top of this again. So all of us need our souls restored. The pressures, setbacks, reversals, disappointments, betrayals, loss, job loss, divorce loss, grief loss, all kinds of things where we're overwhelmed by life. And you don't have to be unspiritual. It just can happen of burning the candle at both ends and finding yourself being overwhelmed that you're in depression or you're drinking more or you're living on pills. And I could just keep going. I saw a T-shirt the other day that was hanging there, and it said, "Life nailed it." Life nailed it. And I said to Val, "That's not true. Nobody ever nails life, ever. Life will nail you before you nail life." If you didn't know that before, I'm telling you for the first time then. It's just true. Life nailed it. No, you didn't. If it is, it's because you're 16. Right? It's because you're 16. But when life hits, you'll know. And life will say, you nailed. It's just how it is. It will always be that way. And so as we set the stage of our thinking, I'm drawn to Psalm 100, verse 3. This is what he says, just the relationship that is possible to have with the Lord. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. And we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, being cared for by the shepherd. We need the care of the shepherd. How often I can find myself, do you know that sheep cannot drink out of a fast-moving creek? So the shepherd has to stop the water so it becomes still for the sheep to put his mouth in there because it hurts his nose or something. That even that he's dependent on someone to help him. And also when they get on their back, sometimes they can't get off their back. It's not a real compliment to you for you're one of God's sheep. It's because we're partly so stupid that we get in trouble. 2 years ago, Val and I were in England, and every morning we were going through this sheep pasture, and these lambs, and there was the black sheep, so I had a particular interest in him. And so we just go, ding, they're bouncing, you know, maybe not quite that high, but they're bouncing along. And we would look forward to the sheep every single morning. We'd walk through the field. It took, it was a couple of miles into town in this village. So we see the sheep every time. Actually, I just broke a vow the other night because I had lamb. And Val and I had, we were walking through there, through the sheep field. She says, who could hurt one of these things? Who would dare? She says, let's make a covenant right now that we will never, ever, ever have lamb in our house. Well, I'm sorry about your friend. But it was him or me. They're pretty interesting. But every time we would go through the field, one of them would be in trouble. You know, and he got caught behind the fence, and we thought we were trying to help them out, but I don't know if the farmer appreciated us chasing his sheep, because they're kind of frightened by a lot of things. So we need the care of the shepherd, and the good news is that he is committed to our care. He knows what you need here, even this morning. And he invites you to come and just be touched, just to be restored. And it's no sign of anything that you need something extra. That's just how life is, where you can feel run down, overwhelmed, pressed about, on the verge of saying, I'm not feeling very well. This is a common thing for people just to say, I don't know what's been happening to me, but I'm not sleeping, or this and that, and on it goes. But the Lord is committed to our care and wants to help us. The shepherd always cares for the sheep. He cares for you. He cares for me. I find that in ministry, you can take on too many situations. You can take and say, well, help that person, and then I'm going to help that person, I'm going to help that person. And you can get into some kind of a burnout and it's based on good stuff. It wasn't bad stuff you were doing. It's good stuff, but too much of a good thing and feeling absolutely fried and wondering why and realizing it's because there's just a little too much going on. Years ago when we were in our Regina days, Val was worried about me. At that particular time, I was a presbyter, and I had 23 churches I was supposed to care for. Of course, in our fellowship, these are not paid positions. It's just some schmuck who puts his hand up and thought somebody asked for one more coffee or something. And so, then you realize what you were signed up to do. But I stood by the ATM machine in Regina, and I couldn't remember our PIN number. It wasn't old age, because I was only 39 then. It was just that I couldn't, there was just too many things happening. And then she got worried for me, and she sent me on a little retreat so I could just restore and renew. And it was, actually, remember, that was a really, really helpful thing. And is it a lack of spirituality? No, I don't think so. It's just life. But standing there trying to think, what in the world? What's my number? I don't know what my number is. And she came over to see what was wrong with me, only to find out that I was just standing there like a dolt, not sure what number I should pick. That's why it's good to have a wife, for various reasons. So the good shepherd cares for the sheep. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. This is one of the most powerful verses that you could ever come across. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it's not 34, sorry Cam, verse 3 to 4. Chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Here it is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We heard about this morning, about the Father. The Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Say that again, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. There's a lot of comforts in there. The reason for that is because his very name, he's the God of all comfort. If there's any comfort, it came from him. The God of all comfort. Every bit, whatever comfort derives from, it comes from him, ultimately. And we experience his comfort. We say, I was greatly comforted by that. I was greatly encouraged by that. And so for what purpose? That I can comfort somebody with the same comfort that I was comforted with. It's a marvelous, wonderful deposit in our lives. His name is comfort. He is the God. Lord, I know. You can even pray that this morning. Lord, I know you're the God of all comfort. I am stressed, or I'm worried about that situation or that situation, or I'm worried about the kids, or I'm worried about my teenage son, or I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about that. It's very overwhelming. Things can happen to us, and all we can do is just say, Lord, here I am, and I just seek your comfort this morning for my heart, for my life, for my mind. So we bring comfort to people. There's nothing wrong. That's the good news. If you were able today, dear one here today, if you were able to take some of the comfort of God that you have received, and if you were ever to pray with someone or talk to somebody and that they felt greatly encouraged, what a morning you'd have. See, I went to church and I met somebody and I just encouraged them. And guess what happens? We feel wonderful. We bring comfort to people, but only if you have experienced God's comfort. Otherwise, you're on E, and I'll talk about being on E in just a moment. So we bring comfort. God brings care. Our job is to care. God's job is to cure. Don't mix up the two. It's easy to think that you are the cure giver when only you're the caregiver. All you can give is care. You cannot bring about cure. And one of the reasons for burnout is the fact that we try to provide more than what we could possibly bring. I cannot be God. I need God. How can I be God? How can I bring about things that are so necessary to be divine? God's job is to cure. And as long as I'm clear on that, say, Lord, we can do nothing else but lean on you. And so just don't mix up the two, or you will be in great psychological turmoil down the road. Psalm 119, verse 107. Again, these are powerful vitamin C kind of verses. I am severely afflicted. Give me life. Ever felt kind of dead? Say, oh no, I'm a spirit-filled, born-again, tongue-talking, water-clapping, water-walking Christian. I don't need that. You will. I can promise you that you will go through something in your life. Everybody does, I think, that they feel afflicted. The writer says, I am severely afflicted. And what is the answer? He says, Lord, if I'm afflicted, give me life. Quicken me. Renew me. Restore me. Fill me. Lord, I receive the life of God, and I bless you for it. So I receive your life according to your word. That's what he says. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. And especially if you're feeling flat, if you're feeling dead, if you're feeling weary. You know what it is that when you get like that? It's kind of funny. It feels like you'll always be that way. And it's not true, but that's how it feels. And everything seems boring. The church, it's okay to feel this. The church seems boring. The people in it seem even more boring. My friends seem boring. Everything is kind of blah. Ever had that? Yeah. And of course, we run around like a chicken with his head cut off trying to solve that when basically it's just a matter of, in my mind it is anyway, flinging yourself on the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm falling into your arms of peace and joy and give me life. I need it. I need life. You can't stir it up yourself. It comes from God. And then I found as I've come out of, I think it was Saint John of the Cross who said, he called this the dark night of the soul. And it's not suicide. That's not necessarily. It could be, I suppose, but it's not necessarily suicide. But it's just that you shouldn't make decisions when you're in that mode, because you won't make it accurately. you'll go on how you feel, and rather than just to calm out a bit and let the Lord comfort you, because he will comfort you. He said, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. Imagine how fortunate are we to have a God who uses us, but when we end up a little frayed at one end or the other, that here's the same God who loves us and who will comfort us and bring us peace. And it's powerful, wonderful. Give me life. Lord, I need life. I feel so flat and so out of it. And it's times like that that you have to minister by faith, because people will still come to you and they will drain you. The good news is you're made for this. And the answer is simply to put your pipe down deeper, deep into like a artesian well. That's always the answer, to put our pipe down deeper, because God designed it that I would be a blessing to others. God designed it that you would be a blessing to others. And so, but when you do need restoration, how beautiful that the Lord will come and he'll say, no, don't withdraw. Don't withdraw. Just press in there, but let the Lord work through you. And I thought, oh, how many times that's been true. Wonderfully, wonderfully true. So God, I feel dead and I need your life. So there's a healing process, I think, to move into the comfort of the Lord. Matthew 11, is there any better verse that you'll ever find? I don't think so, than this. Matthew 11, verse 28 to verse 30. And I called it God's healing process. Come to me. All right, remember the first word here. Come. Come to me. I remember doing a funeral a couple of years ago, I guess it would have been, and not having great things to say, not amazing things anyway, just ordinary things. But I felt that I should say, I said, would anybody like to come? Jesus said, come. I said, this morning or today, I'm not offering you anything else. I said, I'm not offering you religion. I'm not offering you church. I'm offering you Jesus. And would you feel the need just to come? I said, I want you to, on the authority of God's word, I just want to tell you that he would welcome you. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. He didn't say, all you labor and heavy laden, I will give you burnout, or I'll cause you, you know, greater problem. No, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am. And this is the kind, we don't need anything beyond this. For I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Harry Roberts died some years ago, but I remember him telling me, he was a pastor in Calgary, and he was telling me this story about something happened to some discs in his back, and it was extremely painful. So much so that he was out of the hospital, but he would lay on the back row of his church, or where he was the senior pastor. He would lay on there for the sermons, and someone else obviously was preaching. And while he stretched out, he would listen to these sermons, and people, of course, would come by wanting to comfort their pastor, of course. And so they would come and say, Romans 8:28. Yeah. And of course, everyone who came had, you need to exercise your faith. And the Christians who came by Harry, you got to know him to appreciate this, really. But everyone who came by, it was, read the word, pray a little more. You're in pain here. You must have been sin. I think there's a little bit of sin going on here. And so he said he found that the words that were brought to him were killing him. He didn't want anybody else to encourage him anymore. But he said the real point of it came when this guy came and knelt down beside him, eye level with Harry, because Harry was laying on the bench. And he gets down and looks into his face, and you'll pardon me if I'm saying this, he said, hurts like hell, doesn't it, Harry? Harry said, you know, I felt so good when he said that, that somebody else had gone through something and could actually identify with what was going on. Oh, I said, we as Christians, we're the funniest lot in the whole world. There's endless stories I would have you in the aisles if I got going here. But so you'll find rest for your soul, not a lecture, not a try harder, be a better person. No, none of that. My yoke is easy. When I put that on you, you're not going to be overwhelmed by it. My burden is light. Yeah, thank you, God. And I'll give you rest. How many times can you come? As many times as you need to come. If you need to come today, that'd be wonderful. And we'll pray with you if you want prayer. It's an unending amount of resource. And this gentle shepherd, this lowly in heart, simply says, come, just come. And maybe today, that's all you need to do. You don't need to make any promises. You don't need to do anything. Just to come to him and say, Lord, and stand in his presence and say, Lord, I'm just standing here. And I feel I need a touch from you. And I can assure you, I can absolutely assure you that he will not turn you away with that. He seems to like to come. All you labor, overwhelmed, worked hard, need a break, just come. So the shepherd revives our weary hearts. And I wrote a couple of statements just to myself here that renew me, Lord. Refresh me, Lord. Breathe new life into me, Lord. Renew my mind. Quicken my spirit. Quicken my spirit. And so he does that. He revives us. His job is to revive so that we have more to give to others. It's not just so that I can feel with my pain and my difficulty. No, it's so that you can reach more people and put that pipe down deeper so that the water keeps flowing out and flowing out. You're built for this. God made you for this. And yet, if you are overwhelmed, it's just because life has, you know, knocked your legs out from underneath you and you're feeling defeated and you're feeling tired. And you know, one thing you don't ever want to be around Christians, is my take of it after 40 or 50 years of this stuff, is that if you tell somebody that you're depressed, after they've tried to cast things out of you, that's what will happen. They will say that you're not very spiritual, are you? I don't know why we do this to each other. I guess we mean well. I'm sure we mean well. But this is not what the Lord will do. He will come with arms wide open, and you can just relax and renew and revive. Ask him. You may feel like singing. You may not. You may just want to rest. And you know, when your person's depressed, sometimes Bible reading is not necessarily the best thing, because a depressed person, they read the negative parts. They say, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing anything I was apparently supposed to do. And I say, don't worry about that. Just let him love you. Just let him touch you. Crawl up in his lap. You know, put your arms around him, or let him put his arms around you. And just bask in his presence. Don't make any promises. Don't promise to be better or good. Don't promise to witness more. That's not. There will be time for that. There will be all kinds of time for that. But now, right now, it's just to be renewed, to be restored. And so as I seek the Lord for revival in my own life, I can sense it. It does wonders. And it's very, very powerful. So the great surrender of Isaiah chapter 40. You know this as well as anybody could know it. The great surrender. Here it is. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see the ascension. You can run, you won't be weary, walk, you won't faint. Why? Because you've waited on the Lord. You've surrendered it to Him. How powerful is that? You know, people, if they knew that this was available, would spend any amount of money to be able to have that happen in their life, that they would found themselves to renew their strength. And that is, it can be physical, right, where you need it to ease off a little bit, or it could be mental, it could be emotional, it could be anything. But the answer is always the same. It's a renewing of your strength so God could use you yet in a greater way. John chapter 14 and verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace," now he makes a distinction between the world's peace and our peace. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." What does the world? Well, in the world, peace is the absence of conflict. In the world of faith, peace is the addition of something. It's something added unto you. In the world, you can put a brick on your stomach, you can meditate, there's a lot of things you could do. But it wouldn't be what Jesus said. Jesus was that I give you a different kind of peace that you will know, and you'll know it's different. So I give this to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Val and I both confessed to each other that we didn't sleep well the other night. And it's kind of funny about how that is. It's when you can't sleep, everything is about a million trillion times bigger. How many know that's the truth? That's just how it seems, doesn't it? Just overwhelmingly big. In the morning, you deny that you ever had thoughts like that. But in the night, the things that go bump in the night are overwhelming. And so Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. You can have a troubled heart. It could be over some words that people have said. You know how you got in on that? And somebody says something, and you play that over and over and over again, what you should have said, what she should have said. And then you're just okay, you're just about dropping off to sleep, and then all of a sudden you think of that again. And boy, it's a troubled heart is not a good thing. And so if somebody says to you, are you doing okay? Yeah. But it would be also all right to say, I've been troubled lately about the children. I've been troubled about this new job I took on. I've been troubled about this trip we're going to take. You know, I've been troubled whether we're going to have money for retirement. There's a lot of things that you can have that cause a troubling. But the answer is always the same, the peace of the Lord. And where we cast it on Him, we literally take it and we say, Lord, I cannot be worried about this. I can't be stressing about this. I give it to you that I might receive your peace and your joy, and the peace would come and replace the anxiety. So many people live on the edge, right on the edge. And I call it the problem with living on E. You know, where I have never run out of gas. I can't take any credit for that. Val would lean over either way, and she would look over at the gas gauge, because apparently her brother ran out of gas once when they were 17 or whatever they were, 20, and he ran out of gas, and she said, don't check the gas. He said, no, you don't need to check the gas. I'm a guy. And they ran out of gas in the middle of Saskatchewan or probably somewhere. And so ever since then, she's never wanted to run out of gas again. So she checks the gas to see how we're doing. We're doing fine. But there you have it. So we're living on E. Say, oh, I think I got enough. I can make it. I'm pretty sure I can. That's not the best way to live. But when you are that way and you have left no margins, one of the secrets of life is to leave some margins in your life, a little space. Otherwise, you will not have what it takes when you need to. There are people who are out of gas and out of luck and overwhelmed and stressed beyond belief, need to find a formula in their own heart and life that keeps them monitoring, that you don't find yourself just stressed out by the very schedule that you've picked. You know, where you go to that, then I'm going to be over here, then I'm going to be over that. Be over there. Oh, what a day. Why did we book it from end to end? Why did we do that? Why didn't we leave a space so we could have a quiet time or a reflection time? I say, are you kidding me? I don't have any time for reflection. There's things happening, yes, and I think perhaps it's okay to, you can clench your fist for a while, but you can't clench it forever. And there's many who have their fists clenched, and they're just, you know, busy, busy, busy. And of course, we take that as a compliment. How's it going? Oh, I'm pretty busy. Oh, busy. Oh, busy. Oh, busy. I'll tell you. You're busy. You're busy how I am. I'm really busy. Busy. Oh, you say, yeah, busy. Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's why. We're glad you're so busy. You know, when they bury us, I don't think they're going to put, here lies Owen Scott. He was busy. He was busy. Oh, he was so busy. My wife would might say, why were you so busy? Who cares now? So I think having a rhythm is a good thing. It's important. A kind of a kingdom rhythm where you have time for play and you have time for work, but you have time for reflection. So the Lord can continually fill you up and revive you yet again. There's something wonderful. Isn't there something wonderful about a night's sleep where you wake up and you say, well, now it's a new day. I have a whole new day to live and serve the Lord with. But many people have no margins. And I guess the word that we need to say, direct it to all of us, is that there's more to life than making money or getting ahead. There is an anointing on our lives. You know that some people can get a huge amount of work done. You know, they're great people, wonderful people. They can get a lot of work done. The problem is that we will often try to do the same thing, but our anointing is different. There are some people here that need to, they're not people persons. Val and I are different even as a couple. By about 11, I'm launching off. I'm getting some second energy here. I think I'll go to the fridge now. Now I'll bring out the cookies and the chips. And she can hear me. I said, well, I'm just getting ready for the party here tonight. What party? Well, the party we're going to have as soon as you go to bed. And so she gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I tried that. You know, ever seen that Adrian Plast, age 37 and a half? Ever seen that? Well, he decides he's going to be a godly man. And so he gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning so he can spend time praying. And the only problem was he was so cranky that his family begged him to stop praying because he was too cranky. Well, she can get up at 5 o'clock. I can get up at night. So you're probably different than your partner, right? We're all a little bit different that way. But God's got an anointing for your life, and you need to stay within it. I've seen that over and over again, that this anointing God has given you, don't step beyond it. Stay within that function, that you know, where you're the most productive. You can still do things, but you're not run off your feet, and you're not weary and tired and burning out. You found a place that just is right for you. And don't let somebody else try to put you into their spot. It's just how life works. Some people have they're more administrative. Some other people are more people-oriented. Find the thing that works. And you say, I'm best if I do. If I take on that and that and that, I'm not as efficient. And I know I'm not. Because they say, I haven't had time for prayer. I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said yes to that. And haven't you done that? You say, why did I say yes to that? Now I got to fulfill that burden. Shouldn't have said yes. Well, don't step beyond your anointing and your giftedness, right? And your giftedness. It's the way the Lord made you, and it's glorious in His sight and glorious in all of our sight, I think. So some people can do more and accomplish more, but let's find the sweet spot that functions, that we function best under. And I think that's the value of Psalm of 23. He restores my soul. The shepherd loves the sheep, and he loves you. I came across three verses, and I'll close with this. The Good Shepherd, John 10, the Good Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, 1 Peter 5, and the Great Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, the Great Shepherd. Is he trying to tell us something? I think so. I think he's trying to tell us that in John 10 and 1 Peter 5 and Hebrews 13, that this is a shepherd that you can fling yourself on morning, noon, and night, and he will always be good and the chief and the great shepherd. The Lord invites us to have our souls restored. And I'm wondering if maybe here this morning, our time is gone, but even here this morning, I would love to, and I really mean this, I would love to pray for you if you've been going through a particularly, not necessarily difficult, but an overwhelming time. Maybe it's in relationship, maybe it's family, maybe it's something else, I don't know. But if you're here today and you just, I'm not going to counsel you or tell you what to do, but I would just love to put my hand on you and say, Lord, grant peace in the midst of the storm. And just let them experience the lightness, so the heavy load comes off, and we simply come, right? We come to the great shepherd and let him touch us. And it's wonderful. The power of praying for each other. Many, 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 many times Val has helped me by praying for me, encouraging me. And that's what we do best, right? We're encouragers. So if you're here, we're not going to play dramatic music or anything. Just come and stand here, and we'll pray. I'll just wait a minute. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Don't you love our shepherd? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful God? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Again, you don't have to come to the front, that's for sure. You can just write where you are. I'm glad that none of the guys have any problems. Oh, that's good. Oh, here we go. Good. Bless you, George. Hey, here's where our compassion comes into full bloom. There's probably things that if we took time to take a testimony, they'd say, wow, that's quite a bit. That's quite a bit of stress. And so here we have the rich, rich privilege of laying our hands on them and saying, Lord, lift that load. And so I'd like some people to come and just stand behind them and just don't pray it loud, just softly, but just say, Lord, lift their load. Bring lightness and quicken them and renew them, restore them. They go out here and say, oh, am I ever glad I went to church this morning? So glad I came to church because God spoke to me again of his love for me and the need to rest in him. Amen.